All right, really happy now to be back with Mark Lee, St. Mary's High School boys hockey coach, at least until the end of the school year. And, Coach, welcome back to MSO.
Well, thanks for having me.
Coach, when people congratulate, when I retired from teaching, people would say congratulations on your retirement. And I used to bristle at that. But I think what they're trying to say is what I'm going to try to say to you is congratulations on a career well spent.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's starting to sink in now. It's been a couple of weeks since I announced that I'm going to retire, and so it's starting to sink in. It's not easy, obviously. It's what I've done my whole adult life, and you know, trying to turn the page and go from there.
Well, you're going to find the interesting portion of this beginning of the retirement, of course, will be at the beginning of the hockey season next year, and I just wonder, how do you feel now when you wake up in the morning? What's your outlook on life? Because the world has changed for you.
Yes, it has. And again, it's really not gonna. I'm not gonna feel it until probably, you know, September when things start gearing up, preparing for the next season and so forth. So usually this is a little bit of downtime that I have after a season, so I'm just relaxing. We had a great year this year, and mm-hmm. had some great great players and coaches to spend it with, so I'm just kind of going through. We have a banquet next month that we're planning, so still a little busy doing stuff.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, and you will be, and you've got all your former student athletes, of course, as adults. I'm sure he'll be checking in. Coach, you talk with Nick and Nick about the technical aspect of the game, how it's changed. I noticed when it was time for me to hang him up in teaching that I still loved doing what I was doing, but the time went by so fast. For me, it was like everything was on fast forward, and I didn't get personally to know the kids at the end of my career as well as I did at the beginning of the career, because everything seemed to jumble together. In terms of coaching your kids, you have fewer kids, and you have them for a shorter period of time. So were you still able to make that connection, that personal connection with your kids over the years?
Yes. I mean, like anything else, everything changes. One of the things I noticed as you get older, when I first started coaching, I was 24 years old, you know, as the head coach and young guy, and you know, the kids look at you as almost like an older brother at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was getting older through the years, then you become the father figure. And then I felt the last couple of years, I was almost like the grandfather, you know? always proud of the relationships that we built over the years with each team, each of the players. And I tried to work hard on that to make sure that they knew that I was there for them, not just for the hockey, but for off the ice, any issues. You know, life is not always easy, so it's always good to have a relationship with the kids that will, you know, trust you and talk to you if they have issues, and that was a big part of what I like to do.
I talked recently with Mark Leonard and Paul Yamin and Dale Dunbar and Chris Hansen in a coach's roundtable, and I asked them about the longevity factor, getting up on a cold morning and knowing you've got to go to a cold rink with runny noses, and it may be snowing, sleeting, whatever outside, that it gets dark at 4 o'clock. And to a man, Mark, each of them said, and I'm sure you're going to echo this, that they did it because of the love they have for teaching kids about hockey and the love they have for hockey. So it's kind of a passion with you guys.
100%. And, you know, hockey people are different. You know, they really live, eat, drink, and sleep it. You know, we have those 6 a.m. practices every Tuesday morning
yeah.
in the heat, or I should say in the cold of the winter, at those sub-zero mornings. It's not fun. But once you're up, there's no better feeling to walking in that rink. It's almost refreshing, you know, and believe it or not, I'll miss that too.
I get it, because I didn't start skiing till age 46, and I just can't get enough of it, and I love winter because of it. I've come to really enjoy winter. Coach, what about the role of your leadership in terms of captains and sportsmanship? What was their role? Because obviously you have if they're captains, they've got skills. They've got skills on the ice. But what about their leadership responsibilities?
Well, you know, one of the things that we always did was we let the players vote for their captains. Coaches didn't pick them, the players did. And you know, they really do have a pulse of the team and who would be good leaders. And it's not always the best player that's going to be the best leader. But, you know, and we've been blessed over the years to have some really great captains, leaders. And like we used to say all the time is, you know, you don't have to have a C on your shirt to lead. You know, it's by how you act and, you know, actions speak much more than words do. So, and yeah, I mean, any coach that's been in the high school level will tell you that, you know, obviously some leaders are better than others, but, you know, over the years, we've really had some really good captains and guys that have led the program, which is a big part of why we were pretty successful throughout that whole, you know, 40 years or 37, you know.
Yeah, well, your record speaks for itself, and I'll have that posted, of course, and Nick talk about it. But I have to ask you, with all that goes on in the world with social media changing the face of relationships among students and so on, what is the role of sportsmanship now today in hockey? Because I know in the area, the games I see and the coaches I talk with, the kids are really well behaved, and hockey is a, you know, it's a collision sport.
Yeah, I mean, they really are. I think there's so many things in place now, and kids, it starts at home. You know, I mean, obviously as a police officer, I'm in the schools dealing with stuff there as well, and it really starts at home. And parenting is so important. And that always carries over into the athletic field, whether it be hockey or any other sport. If there's a good foundation at home, more than likely you're going to have a kid that's going to really be doing the right thing and be aware of what's basically what's right and what's wrong and how to behave.
What would you go back and tell your 24-year-old self in his first year of coaching?
Obviously, I had a lot more energy back then. It was more old school coaching with the yelling, the screaming,
yep,
and the demanding. You know, but at that time, that was I was who I was. But I certainly, I think I've toned it down a few notches over the years, and maybe look back and say I wish I wasn't so I don't know, loud, demanding. But that's who I was, and. You know, not everybody likes to play for a guy like that. That's who I like to play for, a guy that was really into it. And you know, if you weren't doing the right thing, you were going to know about it that minute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you know, everything's changed a lot now, and you really have to be careful, and, you know, and it's changed for the better, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, at St. Mary's, it has such a great culture and legacy of the student-athlete. And that's one of the things that, you know, Jeff Newhall and you have to monitor. You've got to monitor kids' grades and so on. And let me ask you this kind of off the cuff here. Over the years, I'm guessing you probably haven't lost too many kids to bad grades.
No, and it's funny. You know, maybe early on, you know, the hockey players weren't as well known for their academics. But I'll tell you, over the last several years, I think as a team, we've had over 3.0 every year. We've got some kids that are not only committed to the game, but to the classroom as well. And we all know how important that is, you know.
I had an adult come up to me recently that I didn't remember, and he said, "Hey, hockey puck." And he was quoting something that I used to do trying to make the class a little bit lighter, because I had a lot of hockey players in class. And it was funny how he mentioned that one thing, and I had totally forgotten about it. And he said, "Hey, I went on to be a really good math student." And I'm thinking, Coach, you have a story like that where something that may have been a little innocuous of you or just repetition, but a kid comes back later on as an alumnus and he says, "Coach, remember this or remember that?"
Well, I guess, you know, my biggest thing is how many guys that I've coached over the years and have really made great careers in law enforcement. I've got players that are chiefs of police, deputy chief of police, and several are police officers around the state, and including up until like my 2017 team that won the championship. A couple of guys on that team are now Lynn police officers. So it's pretty awesome to see that stuff, the success stories, but not just because of law enforcement, but you know, I see so many of my ex-players that are doing so well with raising families. And in fact, been around so long that it's starting to where I've had a few now that I'm coaching their kids at the high school level.
Yep.
That I coached the fathers. So it's kind of a circle, you know, and that really, I was real proud of that. To actually have coached the father and the son.
Yeah,
you know?
and it's a great feeling to have to know your body's chronologically getting some mileage on it, but inside you still feel as you did probably as a 24-year-old with a little more understanding and wisdom. I have I had one kid who wrote me a few years ago, and he told me about his meeting with. He told me how he remembered the first day of school his junior year. I would try to encourage the kids, hey, go after the dream, but have a backup plan. And he was a fringe hockey player, and I think he made varsity, didn't play very often, and I'm not even sure about that. He may have, but he wrote me to tell me of his ascension through the ranks. He always wanted to be in the National Hockey League, and to this day, he's the assistant vice president and assistant general manager and vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers. And his son goes to Endicott, and he's an assistant student coach over there. And it's just what you just said. It just gives you such a great feeling when someone comes back and say, hey, you know, I remember what you did or said or influenced. And that is so cool as a teacher. And one of the other things, Coach, I want to ask you about in terms of your responsibilities, over the years, the music has changed. So how does that work in the locker room?
Well, we have our own locker room. Lucky enough, we built that several years ago. And in that locker room, there's a coach's room. And we have a little office area for the coaches. So the tunes have changed. the loudness hasn't. The type of music has come and go. You know, but the key to us as coaches, we have a door that we can shut and let the kids have their space and play their music, because it's certainly not what, you know, we want. But it is fun to see them enjoy themselves, and the music over the years obviously has changed so much. The things they get pumped up for games for are far different than they used to be.
You know, one of the things, I've got a couple of more quick topics. One of the things that Steve Krause wrote about you was, and other coaches as well, certainly across the spectrum in high school, is the word sacrifice. And I don't think a lot of people understand that, because as a parent, you go to a game and you pretty much focus on your kid, whether it's male or female. And then if your kid doesn't get the playing time you think he or she deserves, oh, it's the coach's fault or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's one little bit of sacrifice, but there's others as well. And I think of families, whether you have wives, significant others, or whatever it is. You guys put in during your season and in the off season too, some hellacious hours aside from your day job.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously have to have a supportive family, but you know, I'll speak for hockey and hockey people. Obviously, that we're different. I mean, hockey people are just so intense about the game itself and about, you know, all the things that come with that. So it can take a toll, but as long as you know, you're doing the right thing and you're investing time into these, all of these kids, that in if mm-hmm. you have a spouse that is supportive of that, you know, it makes it a lot easier, obviously. The amount of time during the hockey season, but it for us as a head coach, it's 12 months a year.
Yeah.
But once the season starts, it's every day, and there's a lot to it. So, you know, it's really important to have family that support what you do, so it makes your job a little bit easier.
You know, as such a successful coach with so many championships and great winning records and so on, and great teams, I have to ask you if there were ever any situations where you had a kid who wasn't a superstar, but maybe he became like an unsung hero or an overachiever. And if you have had that, how does that feel? Because to me, it's on a level with the captains who listen and can do everything you say, but also the other kids who work so hard. You sort of have to nurture them. And I know that you've had a lot of talent over the years, but you've also had kids who have had to work a little bit harder than others.
Yeah, we're proud of the fact that we, and right up until the day I walked out the door, is that we considered ourselves a blue collar team. Everything we got and were successful in is because we worked at it and had to work at it. We weren't blessed with an enormous amount of talent. It was always hard work with some talent would equal success. And over the years, almost every year, you have that one or two players that really, you know, you want around because they're such quality people, and maybe on the ice they're not quite as good as some of the other kids, but they're good locker room kids, and they're people you want wearing that St. Mary's jacket around. So, you know, almost every year there's one or two of those kids on on our team, and those kids are special. You know, they're not caring about the ice time. It's more about just being part of the team and wanting to be with the kids, and those kids are special.
Yep, and I'm sure they make the other kids on the team better players as well. I think the final thing I want to ask you, Coach, is about communication over the years, because that's changed. You mentioned as a younger coach, and I remember, class, I coached very little for a short time, but you could do certain things that you can't do now. But in terms of communication, you have to deal with, well, officials, your own players, possibly parents, certainly your athletic director, maybe some administrators and faculty. So what's your overall view on how communication went for you, or if you had a philosophy about that?
Well, a couple of things. First, it's so different now with social media and these iPhones, and everybody's got a camera, everybody's got a recorder with them. There's so much to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of what we try to talk about with our players is, staying off of social media, not, being out there distracting from what we're trying to achieve. That's a big thing. But as far as my personal communication with, I've been through so many different administrations at St. Mary's because of all the years I was there. It's been a pleasure, and that's part of what I'm going to miss is actually those relationships of talking to the head of school or to the AD or, those things I will miss. And it's been, for me personally, I know it's not like that everywhere, but it's for me it was always a pleasure. There's a lot of people that I deal with that just want to see you successful and will help in any way they can. And that's kind of what I've been dealing with almost my whole career at St. Mary's, just a lot of people wanting the same thing, and that's just to be successful.
Wow. I mean, I admire that. I admire what you've done. I think there's a whole new world out there for you, and also you're in an elite fraternity now with all the wins that you have, and I'm sure that your counsel is going to be requested on many different levels as the years go by.
Well, I appreciate it, and like I said, over the years I've gotten out of what I've done is not what I've done, what we've done, and I've gotten more out of it than anybody. I mean, just the amount of relationships over the years and the experiences that I was able to be a part of. It's priceless. It really is. I'm a rich man when it comes to that.
Well, I want to end on that, but I got to ask you one more question. Are you still learning the game of hockey?
The game of hockey changes and has been changing. And it's a different game, total different game from when I played it. And it's important, and we try to say this to the kids too, you need to be a student of the game. You need to, it's become more complicated as there's more structure, and there's so much to the game now. You really have to know what you're doing, unlike years and years ago when you just gain that red line, dump the puck in, and go get it.
Yep.
A lot different now, yes.
Coach, I know you got a bright future ahead of you, and, man, what a legacy. I hope to meet you in person soon, but in the meantime, be well, congratulations, and thank you so much for doing this for us.
Thank you so much. It really was my pleasure.
Fantastic. Thanks, Coach. Take care.
Thank you, Rick.
All right, bye-bye. That's Mark Lee, who is the St. Louis St. Mary's boys hockey coach. He's announced his retirement and what a legacy he has left, and you'll see some of that, of course, on this post. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.